for you are worthy to be praised in Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord together.
I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning,
that this is the time that we do some older hymns. This is one of my favorite. First one.
Oh, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.
Savior,
all the day long.
True. Interesting, Fanny Crosby was blind, but she wrote, "Visions of rapture now burst on my sight." She must have had a vision from God for her to even envision what it would look like to be raptured. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. I just think that is incredible coming from a blind woman. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
He has
Hallelujah. I was just thinking before Sister Davis mentioned, was that Fanny Crosby? Was that the example that you were telling about? If we could just get a glimpse of how blessed we are and what God has done for us, we are so distracted by so many things in life. If we really knew and got a vision of how blessed we really are, it would totally change our praise and worship. It would change our demeanor when we leave this place. And to just grasp that. The enemy is trying to steal, kill, and destroy your vision of what God has done for you.
Yes.
And God, if he could just open up our eyes today and realize what a blessed people we are. It would be kind of hard to contain the crowd that is here today because there would be a praise that would burst forth that would just totally erupt. That would be hard to control. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We're going to continue to go with, we're on lesson 9 this week in our adult studies, and this week it's seeking first the kingdom of God. And I do have a text, it's a little lengthy, I'll try to get to it as quickly as we can, then you'll be seated. It begins in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 19 through 34. And it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and dust corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For the light is the body of the eye. And if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, for what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, or yet for your body, for what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? When God, he gets personal, he starts to ask questions. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do these Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is a day. Is evil thereof. You can be seated at this time. I got thinking about this scripture. There's so much meat here that how do you cram it into like a 30-minute segment and a lesson? It's like it's almost impossible because there's times when God gives us a thought. I could take even two or three verses of that text and we could go on to it for an hour. And sometimes we need more time just to process some of the things that we've heard in his word. There's times when I'll go in and do a Bible reading in my devotional time and get on that bread reading chart. And sometimes we do it out of monotony or repetition. And I'm like, wait a second. There's where I don't even get through a full chapter. I'll get through like 5 or 6 verses, and all of a sudden I'll be like, man, I got to chew on this. There's a lot to process there. And I'm like, God's like, don't be in a big hurry. There's some meat for you today. You can totally skim over this whole thing and check your little box off for the day, but you need this meat for today to get you through today. So, but in this scripture, God wants to bless us if we put him first. And he wants us to think bigger. And he wants us to think higher. And a lot of times we get narrow-minded and we get short vision. But he's trying to pull us back. He says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are greater than your thoughts. But I'm going to think bigger than you. I'm going to think higher than you. But I want you to think bigger, too. And I want you to think higher, too. I want you to have a higher mindset. I don't want you to be distracted by everything in life and these cares of life, because there are things that are going to try to steal from you, to steal from you right now. But I want to bless you. And I don't want you to be robbed from that. This ties in with this financial piece that we've been on the last few weeks, and I feel like I've been blessed by this. I don't know about you, and empowered. It's given me hope. It's given me a vision. I got thinking of my goals for 2018. I'm kind of old school. I put them on 3x5 cards. I put them on my desk. I just brought them here for a little visual. But there are some apps. Dave Ramsey's app. What was that one called? It's Money Matters or something like that. I can't. Let me look here. I think I put it in my notes. Oh, Every Dollar. Dave Ramsey has an Every Dollar app where you can budget your money, you can set goals. And another one that Paul Volin shared with me, he's really good at this. He's done this years ago. And I've seen how God's blessed him and his family by taking this Financial Peace University. And it's Mint. Mint is an app that's very good. You could use it on your phone to keep track of your finances. Using the envelope system is a great tool, and you could still use it, but there's other ways that you could kind of keep track of things digitally, too, and budget your weekly gas and groceries and all that, too. But I got thinking, this year I got to go to two conferences. One was Passing the Mantle just last month, and they had these missionaries come in and gave a short testimony, and I was just amazed on what they shared with in a short little 5-minute segment. And on the seat there was these little partners in missions, and a lot of times we don't see these, but whenever a missionary does come in, Brother Wells gets one of these, it gets put on his desk. But I got thinking of, you know, there's a credit card bill that I paid off in full, and maybe you were motivated to do the same thing as well. But has anybody paid off any credit cards since the Dave Ramsey program? Like one? I did three. Two were kind of small, and one was a big Visa bill. I couldn't stand looking at it. And I'm like, okay, you're gone. It was a big one I've been looking at for about 2 years. I'm like, I'm not going to look at you no more. And it felt good. I felt like, okay, there's momentum here. There's hope. I started looking at my retirement statement. And it just kind of changed my whole outlook on things. And with that, if I'm not spending money on kind of monthly outgo where I have nothing to show for it after 2 years of making payments on just a minimum, I get that squared away. What could I do to bless the kingdom of God if I didn't have that maybe $25 a month Visa payment or Kohl's charge? I just paid the thing off right at the end of the month, and I'm like, you know what? There's hope there. There's a shift in my mindset of, you know what? I'm not going to bless myself first, but I could bless the kingdom of God first. And that was at Passing the Mantle. We were at youth convention. A lot of us, you've seen the pictures, but it was one of the most amazing weeks I've ever been to in my life. I went to one last year, Youth Congress. There was 34,000 people in a football stadium. And I'm like, how can it get any better than this? Then I show up at youth convention. I believe attendance went up like 700 from last year, which is incredible. And they had a missionary they brought up on a platform. And then they brought a car. And this is She's for Christ. And this is what is going on right now throughout the summer. And this is an offering. It gives, it raises funds for missionaries to have vehicles, whether it's on a mission field or their home missions. It gives them transportation, wherever the calling is for where they're going. And They brought the car in the convention and drove it around the platform, and then they popped the trunk and gave everybody an opportunity to give a seat offering. I'm like, this is so cool. So, but with that mindset, what we've been doing with Financial Peace is shifting, removing our personal debt so we can bless the kingdom of God. I'm like, this is pretty cool, and this is all timely with even this lesson here today, to do that, to have personal goals, to set goals, to be financially free enough to be able to be a blessing towards somebody else besides myself. One thing that came to my mind was when going to passing the mantle and going to youth convention after being in youth congress is like, how does it get better than this? But God, He thinks bigger than we do. He thinks higher than we do. And He's encouraging us to think bigger and higher. The best is yet to come. We have not seen that biggest revival yet. But God is, He is trying to shift our mindset. There is more for my people. There is more that I want to show them, that I want to reveal to them, that I want to bless them with. I want to bless them so they could bless the kingdom of God. And that is so cool. That is not prosperity preaching. That is just kingdom of God speaking there in Jesus' name. In investing in earthly treasure, the Old Testament, God met with Moses on Mount Sinai and gave him 10 profound commandments to keep our relationship with God and others right. The 10th commandment forbade coveting. You should not covet your neighbor's house. You should not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. 3,500 years later, things haven't changed. It's not the horses, but it's the horsepower that we may be coveting right now today. It's things that are appealing to the eye. What's appealing to maybe what's out in the field, in somebody else's field, but maybe more appealing to what is in somebody's driveway, or what somebody's address is, or what somebody's bank account is, or what somebody's cell phone looks like. It's all that stuff that, you know what, this coveting mindset, it's our human nature. And God says, you know what, I want you to guard yourself from that, because it's an easy trap to get in. I don't know how much Home Depot spends on advertising to Home and Garden television, but every time I walk in to do a remodel in somebody's house, that HGTV is on. And then the commercial for Home Depot is there. And the two go together. And when I walk into the bank on that big flat screen, HGTV is on. And right across from that is a banker seeing if you need a home equity loan to take care of that itch that you have on that remodel that you want to do in your house. It's incredible. We all want to live, and we all want to need to live within our means, but we all have this mindset, and it's your human nature to want to live better, to want to do better for ourselves. But there, it's also could be a trap too. Obviously, we have to have money to live, but we should not live to make money. We should make money to live. When we live to make money, money becomes our master. When we make money to live, money is our servant. Money is a cruel taskmaster. It is fairly easy to spot individuals who are serving money. They miss church on Sundays to get more done. They buy nicer, bigger. Their bank accounts don't get any bigger, but their payments get larger. But no matter how much they accumulate, it's never enough. God issues this bold warning. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. That is a serious a trap that anybody can get to. Anybody that has been to church for, whether you've been here for one or two times, or whether you've been here for 10 or 12 years, it's an easy trap to get into. Because you could feel like you just start to get ahead, and all of a sudden I'm like, well, I feel like I deserve this. So I want to kind of help myself to this because I worked hard for this. But God says, you know what, that is also a trap. And there's nothing wrong with wanting nicer things, but as long as we keep it in perspective and keep the kingdom of God first. If we keep the kingdom of God first, it's okay to have a little bit nicer things in life, but keep the kingdom of God first. Jesus didn't contrast himself with the devil, but he did acknowledge money to be a formidable foe when it comes to our relationship with him. He also knows the heartache that comes at the end of a life lives solely in pursuit of more money. He's heard the regretful prayers of a man who used to walk with him but can no longer walk, and who now wonders what his life would have been like if only he had put God first. There's something that God desires with Adam, that he did desire with Adam. It was those cool walks in the morning. There's something that God desires when delivering his people from oppression into a fulfillment of his promise, and that's trust. In a post Sister Rachel put out this week, it got my attention. It says, you know what I need What I really need? Nothing. Water? I can get clean water 24/7. Shelter? I have a roof and walls. Food? I have plenty. Church family? Absolutely the best. A Bible? Yes, several of them. Purpose? Everyone I meet needs Jesus. So what else does a person really need? Not a single thing, when you think about it that way, in that perspective. What is the allure of wealth? Why are we drawn to it like a cat is to catnip? There are two things that bind us when it comes to money. It's greed and anxiety. Greed is one of the more famous of the two. Greed persuades Eve to eat the forbidden fruit. Greed overcame Lot and caused him to set up camp towards Sodom. Greed wrapped Jacob's arms and neck in goatskin sleeves and a neck scarf and robbed Esau of his blessing. And those were all the examples just in the first book of the Bible. Jesus told a story of a farmer who had a bumper crop. He harvested more than the square footage that he had to store it. So after thinking about his dilemma, he came up with a brilliant plan. He would tear down his barns and build a bigger one to supply them all. He had the opportunity to bless others, but greed convinced him it was better to hoard than to share. That very night, while he was dreaming of what he would do with all that he had, he lost his life and his soul that night. Greed is short-sighted, it is self-centered, and does not care for others. Greed is sly. It creeps up on you like a snake sometimes. Sometimes it persuades us that we are blessing our families by working more for them to give them more things. But we're really robbing them of something more valuable than is that our time with them. Greed doesn't always have to win. Contentment can stand toe-to-toe with the greediest greed and not back down, because contentment is a gift from God. And in 1 Timothy 6:6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Not all the upgrades with a second mortgage. We really have more when we are grateful for what we already have. It's just a mindset. It's just a mind shift. A lot of it is we live in the world. We rub shoulders with the world. We see the same advertisement the world sees. And it's easy to get caught up. But you know what? I'm so thankful that I could walk into a church and feel his presence. And that the Lord, if he needs to shift my mindset, if he needs to put conviction on my heart, I could walk out of here changed. And I could walk out of here thinking differently like the world thinks. And I could walk out of here with hope and encouragement, not with anxiety, not with the pressures of life that it brings by thinking I got to have everything the world is looking out to grab. But everything that I have, he has given me, and my God is more than enough, and he is a faithful. Aren't you thankful for his faithfulness? In Jesus' name. When greed can't trip us up, anxiety will take its best shot. We can all agree to this. We can all testify. Anxiety seems to be more subtle and less sinful. Anxiety convinces us we need more because there is more. There's coming a day when we will have less. We don't stock up because we want more. We stock up because we feel like we need more. We're saving for that rainy day. So when we are so anxious about our finances and our needs, we are not trusting in God. It is a balancing act, but it's all can be balanced out properly with a proper relationship with him. He knows right where we're at. He knows what we have and what we don't have. He knows the allures that attracts the world, and he sees when our eyes get distracted and it starts to attract us. He's like, come back to my relationship with me. You have more than enough. I supply all your needs because I own everything. Anxiety comes naturally, but it becomes sin when we seek first to take care of ourselves and to forget to bless the kingdom of God. Anxiety equals lack of trust. Anxiety equals lack of faith. It robs us of what God has given me right now. This isn't always a money issue, though, when it comes to anxiety. What causes you to lose your sleep at night? What causes you to lose your joy and your peace? The what ifs? What you have no control over? Philippians 4, 6, and 7 in the New Living Translation version says this. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. That right there is something that we could take today walk out of here and just practice and implement. And that could be a lifestyle change for us if we do that every day when we feel like anxiety starts to overwhelm us. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That is a precious promise of peace. It is something the world can't understand. That is something that we can't understand. We thank God. Pray about everything. When we get anxiety, it's from a lack of prayer. I know that I've never felt anxiety when I've been prayed up. I've never felt anxiety when I walked out of here after coming to an altar, after an altar service. That has never been an issue. But as long as I get into his throne room, as long as I get into my prayer closet, as long as I get alone with God and have those walks and talks with him, everything's okay. The earth begins to fade away. My worries begin to fade away. And there is a peace that passes all understanding. Therefore, I say unto you, do not worry about your life or what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body or what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? I have to stop right there. And do you have anybody that you ever had requested on Facebook that after a couple days, you're like, who is this person and where is this person's mind? And I had this person that a friend requested me a couple weeks ago, and she used this scripture verse. And in the scripture verse, she had her finger pointed to a beer can. And it says, don't worry about your life or what you'll eat or what you will drink. And I'm thinking, I went to my niece. I said, can you find a way to hide that? I don't want to say that on my newsfeed. I don't want to look at that every 5 minutes. Because there was a scripture to everything. And everything was taken out of context. I'm like, good Lord, I don't even know where her mind's at. It is not on anything heavenly. But it was like an excuse. She kind of manipulated the scripture to make an excuse for her lifestyle. I'm like, you know what? I don't want that. I don't want that junk rubbing off on me. And I'm thinking she's a little out there, and we're just going to put her aside. So, but people like that are out there, and it's our responsibility to rightly divide the word of God. This verse doesn't also imply that we just quit our job and everything's going to be okay. God expects us to work, but he wants us to guard from anxiety and from worry. It says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? He's asking a question. That means I'm getting more personal with you. I'm giving a command, but I'm asking a question. He goes, I want to be close to you. And he becomes close to us in our conversation when he starts to ask us questions. Sometimes we need to chew and digest on the word of God. And sometimes anxiety comes always from being in a hurry. We could get so caught up from being in a hurry in life and go from one place to another. And I've done this. I'm guilty of pretty much everything that I am sharing with you today. And I thought about this for a long time, is putting a large mirror up here and preaching at the man in the mirror while I'm speaking to you, because God deals with me with this before I even come and share it with the church. So none of us are exempt, right, Brother Killam? Every time we come up here and every time we prepare, the Lord, he massages our heart and tweaks us. We repent and we come here and we share it with you, because you know what? We're all in the same boat. We're all human. We all think the same things, and we all get distracted and derailed, and we all need help getting right back on the track, the right mindset. Matthew wrote in 10 and 29, he says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more valuable than many sparrows. You are of great value to him. The ones that feel ashamed, the ones that are hopeless, the ones that need to know about the God that we know, they are of great value to him too. The ones that have done you wrong, the ones that have mistreated you, the ones that have walked away from this, they are of great value to him too. Jesus didn't die for a sparrow, but he did die for us. And he knows there are sparrows and how to care for them. Surely he knows where we are and how to care for us. Which of you can add a cubit to your stature? Which of you can add a cubit doesn't make you taller? Which of you, by worrying about the cares of life, can prolong your life? Absolutely nothing. Your worrying will do only one thing. It'll rob you from your right now. What God has blessed you with, maybe it's time. Maybe you have a precious gift of time with family. Maybe God has done something great in your life. But you're thinking of something else. And the enemy is come to steal, to kill, and destroy. And he's come to try to put anxiety upon you. I can't tell you how many times this has happened to me when I've sat down in devotion time, on one-on-time with God. Brother Mike, I would get halfway through one of these Bible readings. I wouldn't even get through one chapter. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, I got to mow the lawn. I got to go to the store. I got this 25-point list I got to do today before I get through one chapter in the Bible. It is incredible. But that's the advice the enemy does. He tries to throw that. I don't believe too many people here, I can honestly say, are affected by greed. But the more subtle one is anxiety. And the enemy will try to trip you up with anxiety. He'll try to get you worried about things. He'll try to about things that have no relevance. And a majority of them are the what ifs. What you have no control over, and the what ifs are the things that he is trying to attack you with. Lord, I give it to you. Lord, I cast my cares upon you because you care for me. Lord, protect me, Lord. The enemy's trying to steal something from me. But, Lord, I need you right now. I need you this hour in Jesus' name. Aren't you thankful that you could call upon his name? You don't have to raise your voice. I could think about him, and he knows my thoughts, and I could feel his presence before I even utter his name. I am so thankful for that. Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin, yet I say unto you that even Solomon, all his glories, was not arrayed like one of these. In each of these illustrations, he's referred to himself in a tender way, as a father that truly cares for his children. And I want to ask this. We have a couple of widows in the church, and without embarrassing, maybe with just an uplifted hand, has God, have you ever had your electricity ever cut off? Have you ever been had to go hungry because God did not supply your need? There are so many testimonies in this church where God has been good, and God has been faithful to us. And if they are too old and they're not able to praise like they did 30 years ago, that testimony of somebody else in this church gives me a chance to give him the high praise for what he has done for brother and sister in my life, to give him praise for his faithfulness that I've seen. There's so many examples of God's faithfulness in this church. It is mind-blowing. I could walk out of here with confidence. I walk in here and look around with confidence, knowing what a faithful God that we serve, in Jesus' name. Can we give him a hand clap of praise? I'm trying to hurry through here. Don't be greedy and don't worry. In verse 33, Jesus told us what to do. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. In one short sentence, Jesus prescribed the cure to end greed and anxiety. We simply need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Malachi 3:10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that ye may be meat in mine house. And prove me now wherewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you, I'm getting personal, I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. I want to pour out a blessing that you can't contain, not for you to build a bigger barn to tear down your small one, but I want to bless you. Try me. Try me. Give to me. It is impossible to outgive God. God wants to give. He wants us. He's a pattern for us. He is a giving God. He's showing us the example to give to others. Giving lifestyle. Give, save, spend. That was the three key things that Dave Ramsey showed us these last few months on financial peace. We give first. Right off the top of the bat, we give first fruits of our labor. We pay our tithes. We save. We take a portion. We put it away. And then we spend to ourselves. Seek first the kingdom of God. First in our tithes. First in our offering. First thinking, what can I do to bless the kingdom of God besides my tithe and besides my offering? I'm gonna go. A lot of times that could be monotonous, Brother Al, where we can come to church every Sunday. We could throw our tithe in an offering basket. The Lord says, you know what? I want to push you a little further. I want to stretch you a little further. You're not gonna outgive me. Prove me. I will always outgive you. Try me. See what I can do. I am going to open the windows of heaven. We sing that worship song, open the windows of heaven. But Lord says, you give to me an offering, and I will pour out the windows of heaven. It's not just monetary, but it is with the heart. It is with the right heart and with the right mind. I don't want to give this out of grudgingly or out of necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver. I want to give him my time. I want to give him my talents, not just of my money, but I need to give it to it with my right heart mindset. He knows the heart. You're not going to fool him. We can do things. We can go through the motions. We can be monotonous. But God knows the heart. And one thing that I want to do is put a smile on his face. I want his heart to smile in my heart. And I want to please him. Don't you want to please him more than anything? If we could stand at this time. The Lord has gifted every believer with a talent or a skill. God gifted some to preach and some to teach. Others to have musical talents such as singing and playing instruments. God's gifted some individuals to work with children or with teens. God's called missionaries to fly to foreign countries to work with people that have never heard the precious name of Jesus. Others may be gifted to run a soundboard. Computer users may love to design websites. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's an opportunity to talk to a neighbor that you may not have talked to in a while. Let them know that there's hope. Tithing is a gentle reminder God has given us what we have. And we are giving 10% back to him to bless his kingdom. Brother Jay, can you put that last scripture up? You may not have a specific role. Maybe some things that I mentioned. Maybe you're not that teacher, or you're not that preacher, or you're not good on the soundboard, or what can I do? This is a scripture that came to my mind last night. God has not sent some into the church. God has sent some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing. And that's the one I want to emphasize, helps. You may not know your specific role in the kingdom of God, but you're able to fill in a gap. Lord, what can I do to help somebody else in their ministry in this church? What can I do to help on the music department? Maybe it's moving some things around. Maybe it's helping with some things before church or after church. Is there anything that I could help a Sunday school teacher with? Can I give something to, maybe it's a snack for the kids. Who knows what it is? Can I make them something special? Is there a certain project that they're working on that they might not have a specific talent for that you may have a talent for? Just to fill in the gap. Lord, I want to help. I want to stand in the gap. I want to put you first in my heart and my mind. I want to put you first in my finances. I want to try you. He says, try me. Try. I want to give him above and beyond just my tithes and offerings. But Lord, I'm going to take a step of faith and give above and beyond, Lord. And I'm not going to do it to see you try to bless me more. I want to do it, Lord, in asking for nothing in return. Just like when I lift my hands and I close my eyes, and Lord, I thank you, Lord. I'm not expecting nothing in return, Lord, but I do thank you, Lord, that when you pour your presence out upon me in this place, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your testimonies of faithfulness in your house that are here today. Every time that I walk through these doors, I see examples of your faithfulness, of your goodness, Lord, and how you've given and how you provided. Lord, how you've, Lord, nobody's went away hungry, Lord. Nobody's begged for bread, Lord. You are so faithful and you're such a true God. In Jesus' name. Maybe we just need to take a moment and just examine, Lord, what am I putting first in my life? What am I putting first and why am I putting it first, Lord? Am I not putting you first, Lord? May, before I go to this next hour of this service, Lord, deal with my heart, Lord. Examine me, Lord. Lord, you see it all. Nobody can fool you, Lord. Lord, you know my heart, Lord. I'm just going to lay it before you as an offering in Jesus' name, Lord. I want to put you first, Lord. Lord, that spirit of anxiety has crept up upon me, Lord, has robbed me of many things, Lord. Lord, not today, not any further. I'm going out here today, Lord. I'm laying it before your feet here today in Jesus' name. We could just take
you are good. You are good. You are good. And your mercy is forever. Mercy calls me to be like you.